Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you into pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth, and then my judgments go forth like the sun. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings.
As Jesus went on from there, he saw you sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners."
Picture this: Matthew, or Levi, as you might find him called in other parts of the Bible, is a tax collector. He taxes goods and earnings from farming and other industries and stops you passing into the main places to sell your goods. He is a tool of your oppressor, a member of your community who is keeping himself fed by starving his fellow people. And to top it all, even though he knows the one true God, he facilitates his people's oppression by making himself unclean, by being with Gentiles, the ones who do not believe in the one true God. But you think he is, saying that he's come to save us, but he doesn't even know what he's doing. He's spending time with those unclean, those bad people. The writer of Matthew has a memory of who Jesus is that allows the writer to remember why Jesus is with the tax collector and the sinner. The writer remembers what Jesus has already done in chapter 7 because the writer wrote it. Jesus preaches in Matthew 7 the Sermon on the Mount, a radical manifesto of a kingdom of God that will overshadow anything this world can offer. And then in chapter 8 and the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus does miracles showing who he is and the power of the kingdom he preaches. And now words and actions meet in personal relationship. And the Pharisees ask the disciples, his apprentices, the question, why does he spend time with these people? To be honest, this isn't a question. And will lead to death. Jesus is unworthy, he isn't pure, and he isn't saving anyone by eating with these people. So Jesus says something which the Pharisees would know. It's a rabbinic tool. It's what teachers use to make their students learn. He says, "Go, learn what this means. And then he quotes the Hosea passage we had in the Old Testament, a book that the Pharisees know and live and breathe, a book passed down through generations by word, not just by reading. It's embedded in who they are. But it's interesting that in how Jesus says it, he's telling them, even though they've lived these words, they understood them in some ways, he's telling them they don't know what they mean. And another tool Jesus is using here, which I think is quite an interesting one, say, well, yeah, to be with the sinners. But we all know the subtext is we are all sick. And Jesus has proven before he is the healer. Last week, I called us the apprentices because disciples means apprentice, people who follow the master craftsperson. The reality is, most of the time, I act like a Pharisee. I think of myself better than I am. I separate myself off. I dehumanize others into their actions, thinking that they are, you know, a little bit worse than me because they don't do things right, right? I have some sort of sense of internal morality that I feel is better than other people sometimes. I'll look at actions that I see on media and in the public and in my family, and I'll go, I'm the good one. My expectation is my mum will kind of make sure that that is the case, because she'll say to me, yes, I'll look after you, look after me, it's great. So I feel like I'm better than others. I build that narrative inside me. So although I think I'm working towards being the apprentice, I actually act as if I'm the Pharisee. So it's interesting when life meets this we've been given a gift in the Gospels of knowing salvation comes in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We believe Jesus is the God who loved us so much that he put on our very nature, and still, even though our nature is fallible, he bossed it. He did things that we just can't do. Jesus makes Matthew in this story human, where he's been dehumanized by his culture, his people. Matthew, who I said his name was Levi in other parts of the Bible as well. Levi is the order of priests. If you have that name, it means that you've been part of the order of priests. You're a descendant of the original priests of the people. So Matthew knows these words. He knows the law. Yet he has been cast out, as maybe he had to survive. And now Jesus is speaking life into him. Jesus did that by humanizing him, by calling him, by eating with him, by making him just a person, person to person, a place where he was turned into something other. As I was thinking about this yesterday, I came to open up for the Fuss Fair, and there was a guy asleep on a bench. As I walked past to open the door, I thought, okay, he's just homeless and drunk, and I'll, you know, let him sleep it off. I won't say anything. Let me just get past him. You know, I've got things to do. Don't get involved. And then I remembered I'm a priest, and I'm supposed to do things differently. thought maybe someone's looking. This might be a test for new vicar. They, like, set you up in the first few weeks, see whether or not you're actually doing the right job. So I went, all right, no. I opened the door, and then I went back and said, are you all right? And he said, yeah, I just need to sleep. And I said, okay, if you need the toilet or do you want a drink? You know, I was like, trying to be good. Do you want a coffee? But I remembered that the first thing I thought was my biases, right? Like, the first thing that came to mind was, it's different. It's a bit strange to sleep on a bench. What's he doing here? The first thing I did was the dehumanizing thing. God caught me. And I thought, well, people might be watching. I'm not a saint. Come on. We're real people. And I then did the thing, which is what he was doing, which is I said, make him human in my eyes and offer him his humanity as I am human as well. We come together in that. So he said, no, I just need to sleep. I'm cool. Don't worry. I said, but if you want to, I'm just going to be inside. You can knock on the door if you need a drink or the toilet or whatever. And I can get up. I'm here for about an hour. Then he said, as I walked away, wait, can you look up? Can you look out for me? I was like, why? I don't feel safe. I thought, interesting. Why don't you feel safe? I'm not from this area. Where are you from? Then he said, Deptford. And I was like, yeah, because you know I'm a transplant from Deptford, right? So I said, yeah, I'm from Deptford too. It's amazing. We linked in that one moment. I said, what part of Deptford? He told me what part of Deptford. I said, I'm from this bit, which is really Broccoli, but I like to say Deptford because nobody knows where Broccoli is. And as a Lucian boy, we had this moment of connection and just reality. And I said to him, yeah, why don't you feel safe? And he says, I'm not from Missouri and these people are not my people. I thought, okay. I said, well, you know, I'm here. It's really a safe area. You don't need to worry. But I'm about. And I went back into the church. He went back to sleep. And in that conversation, I'd worked out he wasn't homeless. He just had a really epic night out. And on his way home, needed to rest and sleep it off. And I had a little smile to myself that I'd made an opinion of him right in the beginning that was true, that wasn't part of his story. And yeah, he was doing something silly, but in actually meeting him human to human, there was an interaction which actually made me smile. It was actually really important to me because I'd connected with someone in a way that was real. But I had to respond to God telling me, you know what, don't walk past. Now, that's how we go and learn what this means. In our everyday life, we got to test it. And we'll get it wrong, and we'll get it right. And we'll try, but we've got to test it. And we've got to test it in ways that are reflective and are prayerful and are full of honesty and humility. When we meet people as people, when we see the humanity in someone, anyone, that salvation of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is offered. It is there. And I think that person to person, that interpersonal, that reactive kind of true relationship with people, that is how we're going to get over our current predicament of being set apart, of being put against each other, of being called into smaller and smaller groups of factional, destructive silos. There's only so small we can get until we're locked in a room with one other person, never talking to anyone else. We can't keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking our communities into smaller and smaller silos of expressed thought. So Jesus, in his life, showed us what the acts of salvation look like. He showed us with person to person, bit by bit, physical healing, emotional healing, rich inner resources in the face of unspeakable challenge. Through love, through shared meals, through real connection, not pious self-belief or purity, but downright chaotic messiness. So if we're serious about bridging the gaps in our humanity, showing for salvation to come, we have to follow Jesus and go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.